This is KVNF Regional News for Wednesday, April 9th. I'm Patricia Naft. The state's $23 billion budget has cleared both legislative chambers. Now it's up to lawmakers on the Joint Budget Committee to iron out any differences. In this week's Capital Conversation, Benta Berkland sits down with State House reporters to discuss the major highlights in this year's budget.
Joining us today, we have Ivan Moreno with the Associated Press and Joe Hannell with the Durango Herald. Passing a balanced budget is the only thing the state legislature is constitutionally required to do. We're in the final stages of that process. You guys care to share just some of the highlights, things that you think have really stood out?
Really, there have been very few surprises. Every year at around this time when both chambers are debating the budget, you have all of these amendments that people put forward trying to shift money from one area of the budget to maybe fund a pet project. And lawmakers will probably hate that I would refer to this as symbolic, but in many ways, a lot of these amendments fail. Typically, the party that's in control, in this case the Democrats, just the amendments that they want to see pass, and then ultimately it all goes back to a conference committee where it all gets undone, and the budget ends up looking much like what the Joint Budget Committee, which writes the budget, settled on a few weeks ago.
It is a lot of debate, a lot of long hours to, as Ivan said, oftentimes go back to what we had in the beginning.
Budget days are wonderful days here because everybody wins in the budget. Even when you lose, you win, because what you're often, they're not trying to make actual policy. They're not trying to boost a budget for something. They're trying to say that the other party opposed boosting the budget for something popular. The senators and representatives have got to stand up and vote on them. There's no hiding. It's the one time a year you can make people swallow a really unpalatable vote. On the other hand, this is the best budget we've seen in a long time. There's an extra $100 million for K-12 schools, an extra $100 million for colleges after years of getting cut. They're adding another $100 million on top of that for construction projects, mostly at colleges. Everybody can go home and say, you're going to like what is in store with this Colorado state budget.
Underscoring, I guess, how much different this budget is than budgets we've seen in recent years after the recession is lawmakers will be able to build up the state's budget reserves up to 6.5%, which I think a couple of years ago would have been unheard of when lawmakers actually rated the reserves down to like 2% or something like that in order to balance the budget. So I think that that's an indication of how the economy here in Colorado really is on the upswing.
There are always unexpected changes. For instance, an aerial firefighting fleet, that was something at the beginning of the process we were pretty sure wasn't going to get funded. It's a Republican proposal. Then by the end of the budget process, it was funded.
This to me is the surprise of the 2014 legislative session. I think it's what people will remember about the 2014 session more than anything else, is this is the year that Colorado is getting into the aerial firefighting business. They've been studying this for about a year, and the governor's fire prevention division finally came out with a report right in the middle of the legislature working on the budget, and it says, guys have an extra $22 million to rent some airplanes and helicopters this year. And the report makes a really convincing case that this could help keep wildfires small in the state.
The timing for it, I think, makes it's really in its favor, because it's we've had really destructive fire season. It's an election year, so it's really a proposal that's really difficult, I think, for a lot of lawmakers to say no to right now.
Thanks. That was Ivan Moreno with the Associated Press, Joe Hannell with the Durango Herald. I'm Benta Berkland, and this is Capital Conversation.
Colorado's snowpack is holding steady into the spring. The statewide snowpack is at 115% of normal for this time of year, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And there's three times more snow in the mountains than this time last year. As was the case throughout the winter, the central mountains received more snow than the southwest part of the state. River basins like the Colorado and Gunnison have a higher snowpack than normal, while the Dolores, Animas, San Juan, and Rio Grande basins are at 80% of normal. Spring runoff should be bigger than usual for most rivers in Colorado. Mule deer populations are declining around the West, and western Colorado is no exception. Now, Colorado Parks and Wildlife is hoping to bring a diverse group of people together to brainstorm about what to do. Randy Hampton is a spokesman for the agency. KVNF's Emily Guerin asked him to explain what's going on with mule deer.
We're not running out of mule deer in western Colorado by any stretch of the imagination. We have a population that's slightly above 400,000. If you talk to people, though, historically, they will tell you, you know, going back into the 1990s, seeing populations around 600,000. And even back into the 1950s, where it was much higher than that.
Do you actually think it's realistic to think we could get mule deer populations up that high again?
We are not going to be able, under any circumstances, to go back to the kind of habitat that we had in the 1950s. You know, in the 1950s, there were about 1 million people in Colorado. We're over 5 million now and growing faster. What we do know is we believe that the carrying capacity of the landscape in Colorado should have us between 525,000 and 575,000 mule deer. We know we're well below that.
So why do people think the mule deer population is declining?
It could be as simple as something like, you know, changes in weather patterns, whether that be drought or heavy snowfall. We know for a fact the winter of 2007-2008 was very significant in Colorado, western Colorado specifically, and that had a negative impact on mule deer populations. Other factors, though, are human population growth. We see reductions in winter range, increases in roads and traffic, increases in things like energy development and power lines, which can lead to fragmentation of habitat. Other issues could be disease, like chronic wasting disease, and we even know there are some implications from predation. It is not an easy process to figure out, okay, what's causing the decline? And even if we were able to pinpoint one thing, is it even something we can do anything about? What we're trying to do, though, is to get everyone together, to get the conservation organizations, the sportsmen, the people that are interested in mule deer, and our agency together, and start talking about what are the things we can work on? How can we make a difference?
So why does it matter if there are fewer mule deer than there used to be?
When we see a decline in habitat quality and habitat quantity, for sage lands, which is where mule deer are mostly living and mostly dependent on. That means we're seeing a decline for things like sage grouse and the available habitat for sage grouse. So it's something that when we help mule deer, we know we benefit other species. Additionally, if the game species populations decline significantly, the revenue sources that drive many small communities and the revenue sources that fund Colorado Parks and Wildlife's work for over 900 other species become threatened.
Okay, so let me just explain this to people. So Colorado Parks and Wildlife gets a lot of its money from the sale of hunting licenses for things like mule deer. So if there's fewer deer and less revenue from the hunting licenses, it can impact the agency's ability to do all kinds of work.
You know, the hunting is not just something that sustains Colorado Parks and Wildlife. It is an activity that sustains many of these smaller communities. And so sustaining hunting is a key factor.
Randy Hampton is a spokesman for Colorado Parks and Wildlife. For more information on where to attend a public meeting on mule deer, visit Colorado Parks and Wildlife's website.
Stay tuned for the Wednesday Morning Music Mix with Jeff. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.